Hi everyone, welcome to Western Heights and a very special welcome to Reverend Bruce Waldron, our new Supply Minister. Up until Sunday night, Bruce was a retired minister. Bruce, along with his wife Shan, live in Geelong. For the past 17 years, they have lived in England, where Bruce was a minister in the United Reformed Church. Bruce will be our supply minister on a 0.5 basis, and he will have Mondays and Tuesdays off. Bruce, we all extend a very warm Western Heights welcome to you and Shan. And we look forward to the day when we can meet you in person at Western Heights. Thank you.
Hi, and the peace of the Lord be with you. Welcome to a time out with each other, virtually, and with God, not virtually, but really. This is going to be a communion service. So perhaps in a minute we're going to play a piece of music, and you might like to go out and get some bread and something to drink, so that when we come to that part in the communion service where we're sharing the bread and the wine, in a way you can take part with everybody else in it. So, welcome, and the peace of the Lord be with you.
On behalf of everyone here at Western Heights Uniting Church, young and old, girls and boys, men and women, happy and sad, tall and short, I'd also like to welcome you, Bruce. This is God's land and God's Spirit dwells here. We acknowledge the Wadawurrung, traditional custodians of this land under God, and we commit ourselves again to working for reconciliation. We're going to sing now together for you, Deep Stillness. And this is a clip from the Banyul Network of Uniting Churches. And if you'd like to sing along or just watch, you're invited to do either.
Skies for you.
pray together. Into your presence, eternal Christ, we commit ourselves again. Your people, loved, forgiven, led and encouraged by you to be testimony to your presence, to all of creation. Wherever we are, whatever we are, thank you for your love. Thank you for letting us know through your Son that we are a part of you and you of us. Help us to find reassurance and encouragement as we meet together around bread and wine, the elements that you gave to your disciples on that night as you faced the cross. We ask you to lead us closer to you and to your ways, so that we might face our way with all of you inside us and through us. We offer ourselves to you, and we give you thanks for giving yourself to us. Amen.
Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Jesus liked to meet people where they were at. He knew who he was talking to. He knew the crowds. He knew that the people that he was speaking to included people that were old and people that were young, and everyone in between. So when Jesus was sharing with people about God, he used lots of stories. He used lots of ideas and experiences and pictures so that everyone would understand and that everyone would connect to and that everyone would find accessible. In today's Bible reading from Matthew, Jesus uses the picture of a yoke. Now, yolks today are something that we find in eggs, the yellow bits, but Jesus wasn't talking about this sort of yoke. So I wasn't sure about what sort of yoke exactly that Jesus was talking about. So I Googled yoke and I found out that a yoke, and I've got a picture here of it, a yoke is a wooden bar like this that farmers use to join cows or horses or maybe even donkeys, I'm not sure, together. And here's a picture of one. So they would have carved this wooden piece out of a big log of wood and then these curved bits that it would have fitted up through these holes. This is a yoke. I wonder if you've seen one of those before. I certainly haven't seen one of those before. This is a bit of metal, a metal ring there. And I think that the animal's heads go into here. And then maybe the reins that the farmer... puts in there the reins. And here is another picture. And here are two cows or bullocks with a yoke on them. Now, before tractors were invented, I think that yokes were invented so that the animals, in this case the cows, were able to work together to perform really heavy tasks like pulling loads of grain or logs or even people on the back of carts and definitely ploughs. And they'd pull the ploughs through the rough, dry paddocks ready for sowing seed. And I think the life of these animals would have been really difficult. I think, you know, pulling those heavy things, pulling the plough through that heavy, dry, rough ground would have been really hard for these animals. In today's Bible reading, Jesus says that if we take his yoke on us, that if we go in the same direction as Jesus, like these cows are going in the same direction because they're yoked together, that the yoke will be easy and the load will be light, that we will learn from Jesus and that he will be our constant companion. Things are a bit heavy at the moment in our lives, I think, and but Jesus still says to us that if we follow him, that if we're yoked to Jesus, that his yoke will be light and our road will be easy. Thank you.
I offer to you what St. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. And he said, on the night that he was betrayed, the night before the cross, Jesus took bread and he broke it and gave it to his disciples. He said, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. And then after the supper, in the same way, he took a cup and passed it to them. He said, take and drink. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you. As often as you eat this bread, as often as you drink this cup, do it in remembrance of me. We do as our Saviour's asked us to do. We take the bread, we break it, and we remember him broken for us. We take the cup, we pour out the wine, we remember him poured out for us. The things of God for the people of God. You're welcome at this table because God loves you. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever your history, whatever your hopes and dreams or your fears, God loves you. God is with you. He poured himself out for us. He's offering to pour himself out through you and in you, in your journey. In a moment, we're going to listen to a piece of music. In the first verse, you might like to take the bread and share it with whoever's with you. Maybe they're there in body, maybe they're just there in your heart, in your mind. But share it with them. In the second verse, you might like to take whatever you've got there and drink it and share it with the person that you're thinking about, caring about at this moment. The things of God for the people of God. May Christ be with you, nourish and sustain you.
This bread I'm offering to you, and as you do, remember me. This bread is my body, broken just for you. Take it, eat it. Each time you do, remember me. Remember. Take this cup. giving now to you. And as you do, remember me. This cup is the new covenant I'm making now with you. Take it, drink it, each time you do. Give to you, and as you do, remember me, remember me.
We're going to pray together, and at the end of this prayer you might like to join in and say the Lord's Prayer together with me and everybody else who's watching. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we remember you present in our world, present in our living, present in our dying, present in our struggles and our successes, our heartaches and our delights. We remember you present in all we encounter, all we challenge and all we accord with. Help us remember you with us so that your blessing might flow through us to all of your love creation. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, forever and ever. Amen. Thanks, Karen, for that explanation of yokes and how they're used. Unless you've lived for an awful lot of years or you've travelled overseas to countries where they don't use tractors all the time, a yoke isn't something that you'll probably be very familiar with. But anyway, there it is. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." How do you square that with what we've just done a couple of minutes ago in this service? That night when Jesus was with his disciples, and he's breaking bread and saying, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you." Facing the cross, the brutality, the horribleness of that. How do you square that with "my yoke is easy, my burden is light"? I mean, the disciples had, they'd certainly taken up his yoke. They'd given up everything to follow him. They put themselves on the line, and it doesn't look at the moment as though the yoke's easy and the burden is light. I think Karen's explanation actually helps a bit there. And oh, by the way, Celia, thank you for a lovely reading of that passage. The idea of the bullock team with the yokes. In Australia's history, of course, that's the way they carted the timber out when the mining boom hit. The bullock teams with their timber loads, eight bullocks all pulling the load. That's our history. The picture we saw is much more the sort of thing that used to happen over in Europe, where they just had a couple of bullocks pulling a plough or maybe a horse. But the yoke was fashioned by the carpenter to fit the animal. A really good carpenter would make a yoke so that the animal could bear the load with the least discomfort, bear the load in the best possible way. My yoke is easy and my burden was light didn't mean that the animal didn't carry a load. Still had to carry a load. But a well-fitting yoke made that load a whole lot easier. And also, a well-built yoke meant that you didn't carry it alone. You had other bullocks beside you. They were carrying the load too. And if you started to falter a bit, if a yoke was well built, then the other bullocks would take the load up until you regained your energy and your strength again. And it was a team effort. The idea of the yoke is actually implying that you're not in this alone. And that's part of the meaning. You're not in this alone. Number one, Christ is with you. Number two, not only is Christ with you, but God's people are with you. You're part of something a lot bigger, and that's held together by God, by Christ, by the Spirit of God, whichever way you want to put it. But think for a minute about this business of the load. I think sometimes there's an imagination that if we take our yoke, you know, Christ's yoke, life will be easy. But there's no idea here that you won't carry the load of life, only that you're going to carry it in the best possible way. Now, I love bushwalking, and if I've got my pack on my back and I've got my food and my clothing and my cooking gear and my tent and my sleeping bag and my mattress and my... If that's all loaded up wrong, and the water, you've got to carry water. If that's all loaded up wrong, then my 18-kilo pack is going to weigh very, very heavily on me. The load is not going to be easy. I am not going to enjoy the walk. And neither is anybody who's walking with me, because I'm going to be in a bad mood. I'm going to be grumbling. I'm not going to be good company. If the pack is well balanced, if the straps are all right and it's loaded up the way it should be, then that same walk with that same load is going to be a very, very different experience. I'll hear the birds singing. I'll see the wildflowers. I'll get the scent on the breeze. And I'll delight in the walk, and probably the people walking with me will be very delighted. Jesus encountered people who were carrying the load the wrong way. And when he did encounter them, he saw them not the way things were, but he saw them the way God had created them and intended them to be. And he knew the way that they were meant to carry the load. And what he did, because of his unity with the Creator, was to help people to see the way they were meant to carry this load of life. Not to avoid the difficulties of it, but to have the right sort of yoke to carry it the way God intended. Remember the story of Zacchaeus, that penny-pinching, backstabbing, corrupt tax collector working with the occupying government, the Romans, ripping his people off, hated by everybody. Nobody wanted to know him. Nobody was going to let him through the crowd to see Jesus. He got probably the cold shoulder, the cold hip, and a few other cold things. He climbs up a tree so he can see Jesus. And Jesus sees Zacchaeus, but he sees him not the way that the crowd sees him. Not with the yoke that he's learned to acquire through the experiences of life, but the way he's meant to live, the way he's meant to be, the potential that God built into that little man. And with all the love of God for Zacchaeus, he goes to his home, steps into that difficult, hated place, knowing that he's going to cop some of that hatred too, and he's going to suffer for it as well. And he helps Zacchaeus somehow. We don't get any details in the gospel stories, but he helps Zacchaeus to see the kind of yoke that he's meant to carry the burden of life with. And at the end of this very short story, where we get nothing but the bare skeleton, Zacchaeus says, "Everything I've cheated, I'm going to pay it back fourfold. If I've wronged anyone, I'm going to fix it, and I'm not going to do it again." And you can sense in those few words the lightness of heart of Zacchaeus. He learned to take Jesus' yoke upon him. Same life, but carrying it an entirely different way, because he was doing it the way God intended. Take the story of Mary Magdalena. She was probably one of Jesus' most faithful disciples. She's mentioned quite a few times in the gospel stories. But where she really comes into her own is at the end. Now, what do we know about Mary's background? Only this, that whatever was wrong with her, something was terribly wrong. And the only way that the people of the time could describe it was to say that she had seven demons. Now, that's a pretty emotive description of a woman. Something's terribly wrong in the mind and heart and life of this woman. Whatever happened between her and Jesus, we don't know. But there's no sign of her carrying any demons or having to wrestle with any demons in her life. And at the end, when the disciples have run away and Peter's denied Jesus and everything, like the terrible tragedy of the whole crucifixion that follows on from that Last Supper that we remember in communion, Mary Magdalena is there at the foot of the cross with Jesus' mother, holding her up and not willing to leave. She's going to be there and bear it too. And she's the one who's organised with two other women, I think probably two, maybe more, to get up before daylight after the Sabbath and go and anoint the body of Jesus. The broken and battered body. And when they get there and they find the tomb empty and bewilderment sets in, Mary's the one who stays there at the tomb. And she's the first person to encounter the risen, living Jesus. It's a beautiful story. And she's the one who's told by Jesus, "You go back, you tell the disciples what you've seen." And I'll bet her feet flew. When she got back there, they wouldn't believe her. This is just women's idle tales. Until, of course, they had the same encounter themselves. She's the apostle to the apostles. Because what Jesus had given to her was a different sort of yoke, a different way to carry life. And her faith and her faithfulness is what made things so terribly different for her. It looked like a terrible place to be. And sometimes it's only through faith in Christ and faithfulness to Christ that we get the chance through the blur of our tears to actually see the new life and the hope that was there all the time, but we could never have imagined if we hadn't followed with that faith and that faithfulness. Yeah, the other one that is worth remembering is St. Paul the Apostle. He used to be Saul of Tarsus, a bloodthirsty, rampaging, ardent Pharisee who threw Christians in a prison and had them tortured and beaten and stoned. Stephen was stoned and Paul was carrying the coats of the people who were doing the stoning. He didn't want to get his own hands dirty, but he held the coats for the others. He encounters Jesus. He sees a great light. And he becomes the apostle of the outstanding, unending, unquenchable love of God. And he writes in one of his letters, "I count everything as dross that I might know Christ, the love of God in Christ and Him risen." Sometimes we imagine in the dark times that God isn't there. The cross, as much as any other part of the gospel story, challenges us to understand that God enters into the darkest, the most awful parts of human history and life, and meets it with an unquenchable love that will even go to the cross and is there beyond it. But we have to have the faith to stay with it, to know and trust that that love is there. And like Mary, through the faith and the perseverance of faith, to see it through and know the resurrection that God can bring about, and find out the truth of what it means when Jesus says, "My burden is easy, my yoke is easy, my burden is light." May the love of Christ go with you. May the lightness of His Spirit help you carry the load and know that there's resurrection. And it's a part of you because God loves you. And because you're carrying the burden of life, the weight of life, His way. The love of Christ, the companionship of the Spirit, the surrounding of God be with you in everything you do, now and always.